meeting to order, please. We have a roll call, ma'am.
Commissioner Gilliland.
Here.
Councilmember Handy Peters.
Present.
Commissioner Cloudman.
Here.
Vice Mayor Nabik.
Here.
Councilman Conroy is excused. Commissioner Curry.
Here.
Commissioner McGurk.
Here.
Councilmember Saylor.
Here.
Commissioner Stowers. Councilmember DiLorenzo.
Here.
Councilmember Ford.
Here.
Councilwoman Long.
Here.
Commissioner Revels.
Here.
Councilmember Patterson.
Here.
Councilmember Denny's.
Here.
Councilmember Cusack.
Here.
County Chair Davis.
Here.
Councilmember Wagner. Mayor Emmett. Vice Mayor Rogers. Councilmember Wheeler is excused. Commissioner Shoup.
Here.
Vice Mayor Burton.
Here.
Mayor Gibson.
Here.
Mayor Sal.
Here.
Councilmember Perone.
Here.
Linda Costello. Heather Blank.
Here.
Judy Craig. Dustin Savage.
Here.
Gene Ferguson.
Here.
And we have a quorum, and the Small City Voting Alliance member is Commissioner Shoup.
Okay, thank you very much. We do have a quorum. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Councilmember Denny's, will you please lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Somebody keep playing with my chair. I'm gonna find out who does it.
Oh, it might be me. I'm sorry.
Do we have any public participation this morning? No? Okay, thank you. And if you could make sure your cell phones are on silent or turned off, it would be appreciated. Roman numeral 4, consent agenda. Any items that members would like to pull off the consent agenda this morning? Any items? Yes, sir.
Item I, please.
Item I.
Motion to approve as amended.
Second.
So we have a motion to approve the consent agenda items A through H. Any discussion? Any debate? Any objection to the motion? Without objection, show the motion passes unanimously. Pick up Roman numeral 4I.
I wanted to make sure the...
I wasn't here for that meeting, for that, that was the advisory. That was the MPO, it seemed correct.
Yeah, I was here for that meeting, yes. But anyway, the thing that's concerning me on this is the traffic management through Central Florida. They're going to combine this for a study. And they sent out letters to every city that is along 1792 because that's a possible study area of nine roads. If this happens, what bothers me is safety on top of everything. About everybody sitting in this room knows about how many children were killed in Orange City, hurt, and damaged, children because of the road, and the traffic signals was part of the problem. And our county staff, working with the city, did an excellent job of finding where 2 seconds on those lights, which would slow up traffic so that the kid could have a chance to be out there where the traffic could see it, was very important. So what happens is if it's brought up as a study area, all of a sudden somebody in Orlando is going to be controlling those lights. And if he sees a backup of traffic, he can see maybe jerk those 2 seconds out of there. Those 2 seconds are only in there whenever the school flashing lights are on too. And it's a very big safety item. So it's something that I am very nervous about. DeBerry passed a resolution supporting it. Orange City did too. I was a dissenting vote. But Orange City passed it because we felt like we owed John Micah a big thank you. And I would agree. John Micah's done a lot for Volusia County. But it's one of these studies that I'm very concerned about, and I'd like everybody to keep a low-key look on this thing because if you look, US 1 is also a possibility in this. If this study And this thing works good. 10 years from now, US 1 will be one of the next targets. So I would like to go ahead and move for approval, but I just want to make sure that this was discussed where everybody understood the overall problem, because they're going to combine 6 controlling units in Orlando into one. The big push will get one of those, and that's not a good idea. I don't see them as being friendly. It's more getting money out of Volusia County.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the MPO Advisory Council report with a second. Any discussion? Any other discussion? Any debate? Any objection to the motion? Without objection, show the motion is approved. Roman numeral 5A, review and approval of resolution 2016-07, accepting the PPO's fiscal year 2014-15 annual financial report. Lois, you're going to speak to that.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Each year, of course, we receive a financial audit from an independent accounting firm, and this audit is for the fiscal year 14-15. There were no findings that were included as a part of this audit. There is one item that was noted in the report, and it's noted every year because we are a small organization, and as a small organization, we have one financial officer, which limits our ability to have an oversight and segregation of duties. And we've put in place as many features as we can to ensure that I and other staff have some oversight and duplication of financial activities. But again, the limitation on the financial segregation of duties always provides a limited amount of exposure to risk for the organization. So that's noted in the report. But otherwise, I would commend Herb Seeley, our CFO, for another really outstanding audit result. And if there's any questions, the accounting firm representative is here, and he can answer some questions if you have any.
Is that Mr. Kish is here today?
Yes.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Kish with Brent Milliken, auditing firm?
Motion to approve. Get a label.
Okay. A motion to approve.
Second, Sailor.
Second. Approve the resolution 2016 accepting the PPO's fiscal year 14-15 annual financial report. Any debate? Discussion? Any objection to the motion? Without objection, show the motion passes unanimously. Roman numeral 5B, review and approval of the draft 2016-17 and 2017-18 Unified Planning Work Program for submission to FDOT and FHWA. Lois, you want to discuss the highlights?
Sure. Again, as a reminder, every 2 years we develop a Unified Planning Work Program. That is our 2-year plan of activities. It describes the funding, the role, the planning studies that we're going to be doing, schedules for those studies, and last month we discussed the overall activities that we've put into this plan, this proposed plan. It includes things like a strategic plan, which has been discussed in the past, a pedestrian safety action plan, implementation for ADA improvements at bus stops, ITS and bicycle and pedestrian master plans, a lot of different activity that's outlined in there. We also discussed funding for school safety studies to expand the program that's been underway up to cover the new planning area that we encompass in Flagler County and make sure that we've brought those schools into that same status that we have. And again, that's important because there is Safe Routes to Schools money at the state level that hadn't been available in the past. So we took all of that information and incorporated it into the full document that's been out there for a couple of weeks now for review. And what we're approving today is just the document as a draft to submit to the Department of Transportation. So the requirement is that we submit that by March 15th of each year. They review and they provide comment back. So there are still opportunities to make changes. I wouldn't expect there to be significant changes, but we certainly recognize that this document doesn't include any changes in funding that's available under FAST Act. They haven't released those numbers yet, but the state expects to release them any day. So if we get those numbers next week, We'll try to incorporate that into the final document before we bring it back for approval. There may be comments, of course, that we receive from DOT to make sure that we're covering all the things that they expect us to cover these days as an MPO, and those focus areas change sometimes over time, and I think we've covered them all, but they may have some specific comments for us. So we will take any additional comments, any funding changes, any other changes to the document. We'll bring it back in April for full adoption, and the document, of course, will take effect in July.
Any questions, members? Anybody have any questions?
Motion to approve. Get a lamp.
We have a motion to approve the draft 2016-17 and 2017-18 Unified Work Program for submission to FDOT and FHWA. Any debate on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Without objection, show the motion passes unanimously. Item Roman numeral 5C, review and approval of Resolution 2016-08, amending the fiscal year 2015-16 and 2019-20 Transportation Improvement Program. FDOT was wanting us to defer this, so would like a motion somebody to make that we postpone definitely to the next meeting.
So moved, Salem.
And I'll second that.
Okay, so Davis. We have a motion postponed definitely to the next meeting, which is, the date is?
March 23rd.
Any debate? Any objection to the motion? Without objection, show the motion passes unanimously. Roman numeral 6, presentation status reports and discussion. We have a presentation and discussion on Votran's annual report summary. And Mr. Shearer, you are recognized.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity to come before you today and give you a brief update on the Votran annual report that ended fiscal year 2015. Got a few slides that I'll go through quickly, and then of course have an opportunity for you all to ask me any questions that you might have. So, to get started, we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about our 40th service anniversary, ridership, some achievements throughout the year. We'll touch on the budget, and we'll also talk about some challenges that we see in the future. So to begin, back in September, Votran celebrated its 40th service anniversary, providing transportation services to Volusia County. And that was a fun photo that we found. Not quite sure what year that was, but that was many years ago. Had Votran buses out there on the racetrack, so kind of a nostalgic photo. And then, of course, this photo here was from September of 1975, and that's Dr. James Huger, who was at the time the Volusia County chairman. He was waving the buses with the green flag on the first day of service back in September 1975. He actually celebrated a milestone of his own this year with his 100th birthday. So 40 years for Votran, 100 years for him. So just some fun photos that we found to celebrate that 40-year anniversary. This slide here is a representation of what our ridership has done over the past few years. As you can see, from 2010 through 2013, we saw steady increases in our ridership for each one of those years. Then, of course, in 2014, it levels off. So we saw pretty steady increases. Then we saw ridership basically stay the same between 13 and 14. Then in 2015, we saw a 6% decrease in ridership. So a couple things that are important to point out. 2007 was the last time that Votran had a fare increase until 2014. So in 2007, fares were increased to $1.25. And then in 2014, fares increased to $1.50. And it's typical whenever you increase fares that you will usually see a reflection on your ridership. It's also important to point out that in that same time period, we started to see gasoline prices drop, and which leads us to today where we're seeing historically low gasoline prices. And that does have an effect on the number of people that get out and use Votran as a service. But 2014 was the first fare increase in 7 years. The fare increase that occurred then was actually a two-part fare increase. So February of 2014, fares were increased by 25 cents. And February of 2015, fares were increased by another 25 cents, taking us to the fare that we see today of $1.75. So we saw a little bit of a decrease in 2014 and then again in 2015 with that fare increase and the gas prices that we're experiencing. So we're hoping that we'll see that trend turn the other direction in the coming years, but we'll certainly keep you posted.
Question?
Yes, question.
For a steady rider going to a job, are there weekly or monthly discounts?
Yes, there are. There's an all-day pass, a 24-hour pass that can be used unlimited number of times. We have a 3-day pass, we have a 7-day pass, we have a monthly pass that allows those folks to receive a discount whenever they purchase that. Especially if they're heavy riders, then they would certainly realize a discount by purchasing those unlimited use passes. Some of the things that we wanted to mark as achievements in 2015. First on the list there is bus stop improvements. As you all know, we've been working on improving ADA accessibility at bus stops throughout the county. This number of 100 bus stops, approximately 100, is a number that we have achieved in unincorporated Volusia County. Those 100 stops have been improved to see an ADA accessible pad. Ramping, tactile edging, those types of things that would make that stop more accessible to people with different types of disabilities. We continue to make improvements on bus stops in unincorporated Volusia County and in some instances in cities throughout the county, and plan to continue to improve stops going into the future. Also in 2015, we hosted the first ever joint conference of the Florida Public Transportation Association and the Commission for the Transportation Disadvantaged. That resulted in record attendance at that conference. Typically, those conferences have been split in the past, requiring people from all over the state to travel two different locations, two different times. And it people love to come to Daytona Beach for the conferences, and so we thought it might be a good idea to link those two together, which resulted in quite a turnout and a successful conference. So brought in people from all over the state to our area to take part in those two conferences. Something that Heather and her team have been working extremely hard on over the past year is the passenger information. So the information that's accessible by people that use our service or people from out of town that are coming in and plan to use the service. We've launched a number of rider tools over the past year. One of those being this the text Votigo, and that the tag that you see on the right side of the page there. You may have noticed that you've started to see a good number of those tags being installed at each one of the bus stops throughout the county. Each one of those bus stops has a unique bus stop identification number, and those numbers are used to send text messages to the number 321-123, and then the person standing at the stop will receive instant information there at the palm of their hand with the next arrivals at that bus stop. And that information is real time, so it's not based on what time the bus is scheduled to arrive at that stop. It's actually based on the GPS technology that's included in all of our buses, and it gives those riders real-time information on what time the bus should arrive. So it's been interesting. Heather and Vinny have been working on producing reports each month that show the use, so they can track the use of how many text messages are being sent to that 321-123, and that number has been increasing month over month, especially as we get out and continue to install more of those signs at bus stops. So we're hoping that that this year we will be able to complete that process altogether. So that's something that we've been pretty excited about. And then if some of you in the room are probably familiar with the Federal Transit Administration triennial reviews. Well, 2015 was VOTRAN's year to have a triennial review, and we were proud that we were able to complete that review with very few findings, none of those being significant, all of which have been addressed. So a successful triennial review, and we'll hope for another one in 3 years. So some of the achievements. The next slide, we actually show some individual achievements and some achievements of the organization. We have one of our maintenance technicians, Scott Groff, was recognized as the second place transit technician of the year for the entire state of Florida. So we were extremely excited for Scott. And one of VOTRAN's most senior employees, Doc Wilson, was recognized as the second place bus operator of the year for the state of Florida. So two of our folks recognized for extremely high honors from the Florida Public Transportation Association and FDOT. Doc actually is one of our 3 million mile safe drivers. So 3 million miles takes 36 years to achieve without having a preventable accident. So Doc is one of two folks within the VOTRAN organization who have achieved 3 million miles. So congratulations to them. VOTRAN has also been working closely with the Aging Tree publication to run stories about how to use VOTRAN and specifically reclaiming independence. So the Aging Tree is a publication that's aimed towards the aging population, and we've been making an effort to run stories in that publication that talk about how to use our service, how to get out and enjoy the different things that are going on within the community, and specifically reclaiming your independence. So we had a number of those articles published and shown at the FPTA conference, and that ad campaign was actually selected as the People's Choice Award. So thanks to the hard work of Heather and her marketing team, we were recognized for that. And then a Bus Safety Excellence Award for the organization. So I mentioned a little bit about safety with Doc and a couple other operators who have achieved greatness and safety within the organization. But the organization as a whole was recognized from the Florida Public Transportation Association with their Bus Safety Excellence Award. I think you all have this in front of you. It's a little bit hard to read on the screen, but this is a snapshot of the 2015-16 budget, and showing that the annual budget total expenses are approximately $22.6 million. That covers everything from our labor, the services that we provide, fringe benefits for our employees, all the materials and supplies, insurance, utilities, that type of thing. This is our operating budget. Capital items are not shown in this budget, but capital items are funded 100% by Federal Transit Administration dollars, so there's no local money that goes into the purchase of buses or equipment, that type of thing. Yes, sir.
Just a question on the budget. Why are the fringe benefits such a high percentage of your labor costs? I mean, it looks like $5.1 million versus $8.9. I mean, wouldn't it normally be around 30-35%?
I would have to look into that. I didn't notice that was that much of a percentage. I'd have to look into that, but I can certainly do that and provide that information back to the board. And it could just be the way that it's shown, because this our budget is extremely detailed, and so we lumped things into smaller categories so that we could show it on the slide here. But I'll definitely look into that and make sure to get back to you. And then we show on the right-hand side, the left-hand side was obviously our expenses, and the right-hand side shows the revenue. We receive revenue from a variety of different sources, one of those being our fare box revenue. We talked a little bit about our fare increases that were designed to increase the amount of fares that we take in from our customers. So that has been accomplished with those two fare increases. We actually are seeing about a 10% increase in the amount of fare revenue that we're bringing in. Other items, advertising. We receive funding for the advertising that you see on a lot of the buses. That's a minimum annual guarantee of $365,000. Typically, we do see higher revenue from that, but the 365 is what's guaranteed. Other big items, the TRIP program, that's the Commission for the Transportation Disadvantaged. So that's the funding that we receive from the TD Commission for the services, the TD trips that we provide. And then, of course, a good amount of our funding comes from federal grants, state grants, and, of course, the Volusia County General Fund. So if you look at the number that comes from, that shows listed as local government county ad valorem, $9 million. And if you were to total up the amount that we receive in FDOT, FTA grants, different grants that we receive, those numbers are relatively close to one another. The county puts in, actually in this current budget year, about a little over $9 million. It's important to point out, though, that some of that is fund balance carryover that we've been able to carry over from previous budgets. So efficiencies that we've been able to achieve in previous budgets allows us to carry that money forward. But that money is still money that came from the county ad valorem tax. Some challenges that we see in the future: capacity issues. Even though ridership is down, we still do have some routes that are seeing standing room only at certain times throughout the day or throughout the week. So capacity issues causes challenges for us in a variety of ways. It's obviously much more difficult for us to maintain our published schedules whenever we're stopping more and more frequently. We've tried in a variety of ways to get information out to the public, to have your fare ready, to be ready to board the bus, that type of thing, so that we can expedite the boarding process and keep buses on time. But capacity issues definitely cause some challenges for us. The reauthorization of federal highway and transit funding provides us with some uncertainty about future funding, and so that we certainly keep that on the front burner as something that we keep an eye on, and something that could potentially cause us some challenges. You've all been out and about. We're here on International Speedway Boulevard, and traffic has become more and more of a challenge for each of us. It certainly causes challenges for our routes and for our on-time performance and for the level of safety within the system and the services that we provide. So ongoing traffic challenges will continue to be something that cause us some issues. The economic upturn has created a much more competitive job market, which obviously makes it more difficult for us to lure in good employees and to maintain those employees when there's a variety of different opportunities out these days for people to seek employment. So it's made us have to look at the way that we pay our employees, and it's made us look at the benefits that we provide. We actually just finished negotiating our labor contract with the Teamsters. So that was finalized in 2015 and extends us through 2018. So that was a challenge in that negotiation. Then, of course, the economic upturn has caused a variety of different new trip generators throughout the county, so places that people are interested in going, or places that people see in the future that'll be open, and people want to get to those places for employment or for entertainment. So new trip generators and new demand for service always causes us some challenges. I was told to keep it to a small number of slides, so I did the best at that. But I would be glad to answer any questions that may come from what I've provided. Yes, sir.
It's been quite a few years since I last used VOTRAN, but I remember at the time that there's no way I could have transferred to an intersecting route. Say if I was coming south on Dunlawton and wanted to go. Well, say I'm from Ponce Inlet. If I want to go west on Dunlawton, I have to go to the transfer station and get the bus there that would take me that way. Have you considered paper transfers to allow free transfers from one route to an intersecting route, or is that being considered? that rather than having people have to go to the transfer station to get a free transfer?
It hasn't been considered at this time. We actually did away with paper transfers many years ago. It's not included in the current fare policy, and it hasn't been something that's been discussed actively anytime recently.
It's because it's very inconvenient unless someone's willing to pay a double fare.
Well, we have a... Okay.
Can I...
Sure.
Can I make a suggested answer? For somebody who's going to use more than one bus, we encourage people to use the one-day pass because that is actually a great advantage, so I don't know if that's...
Yeah, it's the unlimited use passes that we were talking about. So folks that usually use a variety of different buses or board the same bus multiple times throughout a day, they receive that economic advantage of the 24-hour unlimited
pass.
What
does that cost?
$3.50.
I think it just went to 3 cents.
$3.75 with the new fare, yeah.
It's still more than paying a double fare.
Well, because most people that are going to use that pass are going to use it more times than just two, and then they start receiving that economic benefit of the unlimited use.
Okay, thanks.
Commissioner Revel.
I'm from Flagler County, and our transit system there, you're probably fairly familiar with, mm-hmm. is not a fixed route system, but we are hoping to slide into a very minimal fixed route system soon. And has there been any consideration with VOTRAN for access points where the two routes could meet for people to get transport into Volusia County jobs or medical appointments? One question. Second question is, I chair our TDC, and their hoteliers have talked about the events that happen in Daytona that they actually have people that have expressed interest in leaving their hotel and getting on a transit system to come to events in Volusia, and how that might play into that same thing.
Well, I think it's certainly an interesting discussion to see what develops in Flagler County as far as the fixed route transportation when that does come. I think it would be an interesting discussion on trying to figure out ways that we could potentially connect. You know, one of the challenges that we face right now is the limited operating funds that we have in order to expand service. So we've had a decent demand for increases in service, whether it's to new development or whether it's additions to existing routes, and the operating funds that we're able to find are limited. So there would always be that challenge of the funding on how we expand the service, but it's definitely an interesting discussion on how we might be able to connect between the two counties.
Great. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item Roman numeral 6B, presentation discussion of Volusia County Parks and Trails mobile application. Tim Bailey is here. We're trying to make sure everybody gets out of here before the sky falls in. Nancy Long tells us it's going to be at 10:15. So I've decided that whoever the presentation's here, whoever takes the longest is the one that's going to have to valet the cars up to so the members do not have to get wet. So, Tim, you're in the box right now.
I'll keep that in mind. Thank you. I'll try to keep this to 5 minutes. There's a lot of information here, but I'm going to try to summarize it so we can stay on time. Does anybody have the Trails app downloaded from Google Play or the Apple Store, App Store? There's a couple of folks in here. Have you used it? Like it? Okay. Well, for those of you that don't currently have it, this is the homepage. First top box is category indexes, and next is the guidebooks. We tried to keep this as simple as possible for the users to navigate the site. There are four different category indexes. There's comprehensive information from each one of those. I'm just going to summarize them quickly. In terms of the DO, that'll give you your access points to all the trails, links to other state national websites. In terms of the C, event resources, and also links to calendars of each of the TDCs and event video links. In terms of NO, you have regional highlights, your Indian River Lagoon, your byway, your River of Lakes corridor, also contact information for injured wildlife and safety tips. And under services, You have first aid services, restrooms and shower locations, and contact information for all the visitor centers. Under the guidebooks, it gives you a chapter content on the right-hand side here. And in this case, we're going to select trails. Once you select trails, all of the different trail types are listed along the next page, which is showcase trails, multi-use trails, paddling trails, nature trails, equestrian trails, and cycling trails. We're going to go to the spring-to-spring trail because that's one of the more popular asphalt 12-foot-wide paved trail. And when you select on that, it gives you all of the individual trail sections along the spring-to-spring trail. If you click on each one of those sections, it gives you information about that particular trail. Here's some information along each one of those different trail types. If you click on the I, it'll give you more information. Next trail type is paddling trails. Those are your blue ways. And then your equestrian trails. And once you select that, there's a listing of all equestrian trails throughout the entire county, whether it be managed by Volusia County or managed by a state or federal agency or a city entity. You can also plan your trip of why you want to come to Volusia County. This will give you information about the different assets and benefits and amenities within the county. And then we added an element for events. So if you're coming from out of the area and you're trying to plan your trip, you can look at the special events that are going on typically year over year in Volusia County and maybe schedule your trip around it in addition to use of our trails and our parks. The near me is kind of a powerful element here. Wherever you are in the county, if you clicked on the near me, it'll give you 25 places that are nearest to you, and then you're able to click on one of those. It'll give you directions on how to get to it from where you're at. For other users, we've added other user types. In this case, if you're a bird watcher, we've grouped all of those parks or entities that bird watching would be something that you could do at that particular site. There's also boating and other elements. If you click on the crosshairs on the bottom left-hand side, that icon shows in relation to other items on the map. That'll tell you where you are in relation to where all the other assets that you're interested in going to. This gives you, when you click on any one of the icons on the map, you'll get an information box. It's a white box. You can toggle through all the locations and then identify, once you click on one of those sites, you can pull down additional information on each one of those sites. In this case, when you click on De Leon Springs, you'll get the info box. If you cursor down De Leon Springs, it'll give you a lot of additional information regarding to the individual asset. Also gives you, when you click on the map icon, it'll give you directions from where you are to where you want to go. In this case, you'll see these are the directions that are on the map on the right-hand side. I want to spend just a few seconds on this slide. It's kind of important. This is the stuff that's going on in the background. And how we develop this app is really, you know, we meet annually with all the city entities as well as federal and state entities. Typically, it's at Berry Hall. We ask them to bring all their GIS information that's been updated from the previous year. We take that information, we merge it into the county's GIS database to keep this app a live, living, breathing entity. So whatever assets that they develop throughout the year, whether it be trails or parks or historical sites, they supply that. Their GIS information is supplied to us. We allow them to showcase those assets at their at that annual meeting, and then we merge it into this document and then upload it into the Trails app revision. So through time, probably twice a year, those of you that have downloaded the app, you probably want to get the most recent version to get all the information, okay? And then you also can click on the star, and it will make your that site your favorite. And then we've also linked it to other apps that are available out there that showcase Volusia County's story, in this case, the River of Lake story. And then we also have video links to a lot of some of the major assets, and that goes over to YouTube, and you'll be able to see videos on those particular amenities. And that's it.
Any questions?
Yeah. With this app, what are the meetings that are they public? Are they meetings that are just
You can attend. Yeah, we broadcast it through the media on when that event's going to be. We also then individually send out emails to all of our points of contact for each one of the cities, federal and state agencies. We invite them to attend. We also give them instructions on how we need the GIS data. And then we give them an opportunity to present their new assets. And then we take that GIS information, work with our GIS folks in the county, merge it all together, and then update the app.
Is that something that you have to have the app to see when the meetings are going to be held?
No. It's press release. We put a press release out. If you want, give me your email information, and I'll make sure that you get on our contact list, and then we'll send it out to you. Right.
We do announce those through the BPAC usually as well, so we do try to make sure that we're sharing that sort of information with folks that are interested.
Yep, we want them to be well attended. I mean, the goal here is to get the most comprehensive information. So the more people that attend, more people give us their information, the better the app is.
Okay, thank you very much, Tim. And next we have a presentation on the International Speedway Boulevard US 92 Pedestrian Connectivity Safety Assessment Study of Judy Pizzo from FDOT. Thank you for being here today.
Good morning, and thank you for having me. This is a little bit of a history as well as what's happening in the future. This first study, it's actually two studies. The first phase, which we had kicked off in February of last year and was completed in May of that same last year. And the task was to identify the challenges and opportunities to improve pedestrian accessibility in this corridor off-net. So jumping right in, again, as I said, it was to identify those pedestrian facilities along US 92 ISB corridor and those roadways neighboring to that corridor to find how folks were getting around, either through walking or bicycling. What were the issues that they were having to overcome, and what improvements could we facilitate to make their lives a little easier? We also looked at identifying funding options to implement those strategies and prioritize those improvements. So the study area was from I-95 on the west to Nova Road on the east, and then on the north from Dunn Avenue south to Orange Avenue. And there was also a keyhole, as you see on the left of the upper left of this slide, that took in the health department. We had found that a lot of folks would get off the bus and have to traverse or walk up the corridor there to get to the hospital or to the health department, excuse me. So what did we find in that first phase? There was limited bicycle parking facilities. Bicyclists were observed using the sidewalk instead of the bike lanes. There was limited or no shade trees along this corridor, and those of us living here in Florida, we know how hot that can get. There was a lack of sidewalk continuity in this area. Most of the crosswalks were not marked, which provides a hazard to pedestrians. Lack of pedestrian refuge at traffic signals. And sidewalks were disconnected from adjacent land uses. So you would get off the road and might have to wade through a ditch to get over to your destination. And many of the bus stops lacked amenities. So what we found in this process, and I failed to acknowledge my stakeholders, please excuse me, but VOTRAN was one of our stakeholders, the county, the city of Daytona Beach, all participated in this, as well as numerous other HOA and as well as other high-level stakeholders in this area were instrumental in helping to identify this. So our deliverables was a report, which can be found up on the department's website, CFL Roads, under Volusia County, under planning. Or you can simply, my email contact will be at the end of this presentation. Shoot me an email, and I will see that you either get the link or you get a copy of the report of this first phase. So we recommended prioritization criteria based on the Volusia County ADA transition plan of 2014. Recommended improvements were put into a cost prioritization matrix and broken down by, is it the department's responsibility to clean up some areas? Were there things that the county needed to address or the city needed to address? And in this report, it was all outlined. We came up with a cookbook, so to speak, of what needed to be done in this first phase. And I have to commend the participants in this. Their follow-up encouraged the department to do a phase two. So the phase two study area will pick up where the phase one left off, Nova Road over to A1A on Atlantic. And the north-south limits are again the same as we follow through. And let me back up here. We will be looking again at that connectivity. We had our first kickoff meeting on the 10th of this month with our same stakeholders, as well as we are going to be reaching out and engaging other high-level stakeholders in this second phase section. We will be having a feet-on-the-ground field trip, and I have to thank VOTRAN for the bus for that, on the 26th, where we will actually get out and look at this ourselves. I'm pretty excited to see this. So if you have any questions on this, please feel free to either give me a call or you get back with me on this.
Any question, members? Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. FDOT, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be very brief. I'll just do three projects. State Road 415, Seminole County to Reed Ellis. We're projecting that project to be complete later this spring. Moving on down the I-4 widening project from 44 to just east of I-95. We're expecting that to be completed this summer. And finally, the I-95, I-4, US 92 system-to-system interchange project. This one currently is projected to be complete in spring of 2018. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you very much. Executive Director's report, Lois.
Thank you. I was asked a while back to give routine updates on the set-aside list and funding and programming of projects. Of course, that's the SU money that we get for being a TPO the size we are. And we set those aside for transit, bicycle and pedestrian projects, and traffic operations projects. And there's a process that the DOT goes through a couple of times a year called reconciliation, where they close out all of their old contracts and they decide either there was a shortfall that they take from your box or there's an overage and they put that money back in your box. And it's kind of unusual this time of year to have money dumped into one of our set-aside boxes because it's the current year. The current year's almost over. But we did have some money put back into our boxes. And so right now in the bike ped set-aside box, we have almost $660,000. In the traffic operations set-aside box, we have just under $300,000. So we have just shy of $1 million that we need to be able to go ahead and program on projects in the current year. This is a challenge because we are in February. If you're not already lab certified, you're not going to get lab certified for a project. Now, there are some projects that DOT has been working with local governments on, New Smyrna Beach signal project, Holzenbach sidewalk that was on the agenda that we expect to see back next week. They're looking at some other projects that might either have shortfalls or be able to be advanced. There's also projects that are funded with what we call advanced construction money. That's basically borrowing on our SU funds in future years. So we could also replace some of that debt with actual money. But we are talking with DOT about that because obviously the first thing we'd like to do is be able to advance any projects and fund projects that perhaps we hadn't been able to fund otherwise. But, you know, generally the state looks at it, if you have money that you haven't spent in the current year, then you must not need it. And then they want to lower your authorization for the next year. So we don't want to be in a situation where we don't spend down that money. We will continue to work with DOT, and I'll be back next month to report to you on what we've been able to put together. So the next item is the Sun Trail program, and I think most of you all remember this is a program that was established through the legislature last year to assign $25 million a year to construct trails that are on the statewide trail system. And anytime you have a program like that, you've got to set up the details, how you're going to collect applications, how you're going to rank and prioritize. And the DOT has been working on that. And you all may remember that we sent very detailed input because we have a really strong priority process here. We sent those comments in. They are setting up a series of public meetings that will occur next week all around the state. The closest one here is in Gainesville. If you're interested in those, let me know and I can get that information to you. There's also going to be a webinar. So they're seeking, again, continued input. They're going to start to lay out the program that they've put together, and they're looking for comments so they can finalize it and folks can start submitting applications for that $25 million. They're also proposing to actually implement the statewide trails programs by identifying top-tier systems. And currently the top tier is the coast-to-coast, and the DOT is trying to focus all of their funding efforts really on completing the coast-to-coast. The Florida Greenways and Trails Foundation has been asked to identify the second tier system. They have a meeting coming up on Monday where they're going to talk about what that second tier system is. From my understanding and talking with staff, the St. John's River to Sea Loop, which would be of value and importance to us, is certainly one of the trails that is going to be discussed. It'll be competing against interests all around the state, obviously South Florida, North Florida, and areas that also want to be able to access that money. Again, we continue to be in contact with staff, and we'll continue to update you on the progress. And then finally, we had our annual board retreat on February the 5th. Thank you to all of you that were able to come out to that. It was held at the Midorsky Theater at Daytona State College, and I just really have to extend a great thanks and appreciation to the staff of Daytona State. They provided that facility to us at no cost. It was a wonderful place to hold the retreat. Don't expect that next year. We can only get so many free things.
We appreciate that.
Attendance was about the same as it has been in the past, 45-50 people, and we talked about new technology in transportation, both in-vehicle technology as well as systems that are being put in place out on the road, and then how all of that gets communicated in and translated into improved safety as well as traffic management. And we talked about the role of the public sector and the role of the private sector, because a lot of the new technology is being promoted by the private sector. And you'll start to see over, for those of you that weren't there, over the next 5 years, lots and lots of advanced technology. You see the commercials now already, cars that park themselves and brake themselves and want to drive themselves. So we talked about, again, how that might impact safety, how that might impact traffic management, how that might impact the way our communities and our roadway network develop over time, and basically recognize that this is all important in supporting a project that we'll be taking on in the next year, and that is an ITS master plan. Those are all the comments I have at this point. I'm happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
Any questions? Any board member comments?
I hate to say this, but no, the cars don't brake themselves. They were stopping themselves. We do good enough of braking these cars our own. Yeah,
we brake ourselves.
Yeah, we brake ourselves. So no, I just, yeah, it was a really good meeting. Very impressed with some of the technological advances that they were showing. I'm still waiting for the flying cars and the hoverboards from the movies that we were promised way back when. But right now, I'll settle with a car that'll stop itself before I run into somebody. So that's a good thing. It was a great presentation. Thank you for you and your staff doing that.
I think one of the other things that happened, too, is that everybody was pretty well versed on their choice for the Super Bowl. I think that was the first four or five questions. And it was almost like 100% one way or the other, which is interesting. The only other comment I would have from Flagler Beach is that I appreciate FDOT of finishing our bulb out. It's a traffic calming right opposite the pier, so it looks like it's already obvious enough to maybe help slow down people. So.
Any other comments? Okay. Information items you see on page 71 to 88 of your agenda today. Any other business to come before us? If not, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.